Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Are you ready to learn the keys to copywriting success? My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 20 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. My co-host Kate Sitars and I, along with the rest of the Filthy Rich Writer team, are sharing everything we've learned in our decades in the industry so that you can start and scale a successful copywriting business of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Hey there, Kate.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Okay, guys, today we're going to dig in and talk about something that you may have been considering or something that you may have been tempted to do as a way to make yourself more marketable, a way to make yourself irresistible to a potential client. Because, well, this thing that we're about to talk about is used in so many other areas. For example, just in my inbox right now, I have an email saved because there is a discount to a store that I'm interested in purchasing from. They're running a sale. They have a coupon.
Are you going to buy things.
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Okay. Depends on how much, you know. I'll let you know. Yeah. Maybe I'll decide by the end of the episode. But we see sales and discounts and coupons and all that kind of stuff. We see that all the time in a lot of different areas. And it's very tempting. It gets us to make purchases. So I think a very natural thought is for copywriters who are also learning to be marketers, is that a good decision for me? Should I run promotions? Should I offer discounts? Should I offer a sale of some kind? Is that going to be a way to get people to take action and start working with me now? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to dig into this episode. Is it a good idea for you?
Promotions, great idea. Discounts and sales, terrible idea. And I think that's the place to start of, why? Like, I really want work. And most often, I think we see this when people are brand new. They really want to land their first client. And so one of the things they might do or you might do or be tempted to do is put a post maybe on your LinkedIn or on your Facebook page if you've created one. You do not need to by any means. But if you have that and say, hey, the first, you know, five people to respond to this, I'm going to offer this at 15% off or 20% off my regular rates. Like, grab your spot now. And it's a way that you feel like, okay, this will be a way to get my first few clients really quickly and get some experience under my belt. But the problem with this as service providers is that our rates are our rates. If a client sees that and thinks, well, if I can just get them at 15, 20% off, just like we do as consumers when we see a sweater that we want, for example, there's a sweater I bought and I would never pay full price for it because I know they will have 15 or 20% off discounts at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And I don't need it necessarily right now. Obviously, your clients might need copy right now. And so maybe they'd be willing to pay their full rates. But the point is that them seeing that just does a disservice to you and what you're offering. If mm-hmm. if they can get it at a reduced rate, why would they want to pay the full price?
Mm-hmm. When we discount our rates, the implication is that our rates are not solid to begin with, not based on anything real to begin with. And our CCA students know we have a formula for estimating
what you should charge for a project. So there's actual thinking, there's actual strategy that goes into it. Estimate, okay, I think it's going to take me long this long to do the project. I think it's going to take me this long to edit it, this many client calls, you know, that kind of thing. So we have a reason for quoting the rates that we do. There's a formula to it. And when we go into something and we say, look, we can give you a discount. Hey, just for these first people, we'll give you 20% off or whatever. The implication then is that there isn't anything real behind our numbers. If we're able to discount something, to Kate's point, if we're able to discount something by 15 to 20% at any time, then there isn't anything, then our rates are, by implication, our rates are inflated to begin with. That there's, or I should at least say, the implication is that our rates are malleable, not based on anything real to begin with, and or our rates are inflated in case we want to discount. And either of these impressions is a really, really bad impression to give potential clients.
Yeah, our services are not like an article of clothing where, you know, an article of clothing costs a certain amount to produce. You know, inevitably that there's a certain amount of markup because, you know, the marketing that goes behind it, the employees that have to be paid to do those sorts of things and get it out in the world, all of these things that result in the end cost of a product. But there's still a profit margin there of like, we can still sell this at this reduced, you know, 20% off rate and still make a profit. For us as service providers, we don't have it's not the same context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is no markup.
Yeah.
Well, and I think too, it's also a very different feel from e-commerce or just, you know, regular commerce, snail mail commerce. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, catalogs.
Yeah, exactly.
Catalog commerce.
Brick and mortar. The implication is also very different. Because discounts are just a part of doing business when it comes to commerce. Brick and mortar. The only implication is, oh, okay, great. Now's an opportunity to save. Maybe it might mean, okay, if I'm not going to buy this now, I'll wait later for another opportunity to save. The implication with a service provider, when you're running a sale, is that you can't get people at your standard rate. Right? That you need to run a promotion because you can't get people at your standard rate. And number one, that says what you're telling the world is I have to offer a discount to get clients. That means that number one, what you are saying doesn't mean this, but it's what you're saying basically is that you can't get people to work with you. And that's never a good sign, right? Nobody wants to work with someone who nobody else will work with. If you were looking for a plumber, right? And one plumber, he's booked out for months and months and months. He or she, they're booked out for months and months and months. And you know, there are two plumbers in town. One plumber is booked out for months and months and months. And the other plumber has nothing but availability. You know there's a problem with this other plumber. And that's the implication when you have to offer a discount. What you're saying is that I either can't get people to work with me, meaning that I'm untested, maybe I'm not very good at what I do, or number two, I can't get people to pay my standard rate, which again could mean people think my standard rate is too high, or people think my rate is inflated, or any number of things. But the problem is that none of these things are good. When you offer a discount as a service provider, the only things that you are broadcasting are negative things and negative impressions.
And usually to that point, all of these negative messages are ones we're generally telling ourselves. They're coming from internal, you feel untested. Maybe, again, you haven't landed your first client. You've only landed a couple of clients. And so you still feel like, well, who am I to ask for this rate? Are they going to say no? Is this too high? Are they going to actually, can I find clients that are willing to pay this? And so all the messages that Nikki just said, they're probably things you've told yourself and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That is true, but it's not, because it's a mindset shift of saying and believing. And I know that it's hard to believe before you've actually landed the clients who are willing to pay your rate, but trust from us and from many, many CCA students who are like, oh my gosh, they accepted my quote without a question, without a blink of an eye. It's doing the thing of saying, this is my rate. I've done the due diligence. I've figured out what this is going to take me and what it's going to cost. And here's my rate. And there are clients that were willing to pay your rate. And mm-hmm. if you've had experience where there haven't been clients that, you know, maybe a client says that's not one of them, my budget, that happens. And but it's more rare than you would think. And so I think we get into our own heads to start discounting and reducing our rates because we are afraid. It comes from a place of fear. It comes from a place of just not knowing what we don't know. If we haven't done the thing and we haven't landed the clients, then we don't know that it's possible. And so going in though with the mindset of this is my rate, I've done the work, I know what I need to charge, and you know what you need to charge to pay your bills, to make a living, mm-hmm. that your time is valuable. And once you start valuing your time, you don't want to discount your time. Mm-hmm. Why would we discount our time? We have a finite amount of time. We don't have piles of sweaters that we want to just push out and move out. We have a finite amount of time to write the copy that we want to write and to write quality copy. We need that. We need every bit of that time that we budgeted for it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we need clients that will pay us our standard rate. If you could fill up your schedule, and that's part of the problem with the implications of running a discount, is that if you could fill up your schedule with clients who will pay your standard rate, you're penalizing yourself mm-hmm. to run a discount. When you could, if you could get people that will pay you $60 an hour, why would you work with anybody who's only going to pay you $40 an hour. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't check out. And like we're saying, none of these are messages that you want to put out there. Now, this is not to say that you can't come up with some kind of promotion mm-hmm. that can get people to take action, but it shouldn't be any kind of price or discount promotion. You might say, you know, I have time for five strategy calls this month with clients. They book up every month. So make sure that you can, you know, get your free strategy call this month. And I only have five of them. What you're doing is you're creating urgency by limiting the number of people that can get in for that call.
To that point, the strategy call, though, that is an opportunity then you put a time limit on it. That's an opportunity to basically do a discovery call with these potential clients that sign up for this. And so you're going to be following up with those folks saying, hey, I know we discussed this. Do you want to move forward with this project? And you're going to have ideas. And so it's essentially like pitching, but on an actual strategy call with them. And maybe, you know, they move forward, maybe they don't, but it's still opportunity that you're creating for your business to have potential clients working with you for paid work.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But even as we're saying this, I don't want you to think, oh, okay, this is great. I'll just put out free strategy call. I'll post it on LinkedIn. I'll post it on Instagram or wherever. And then that's it. Then the clients will come to me. It's still not how it works. Mm-hmm. It's just not how it works. I know that we're always looking for the easy button, and I get that. I absolutely get that. But it's not how it works. The business does not work that we can sit back and wait for people to come to us. Because mm-hmm. first of all, we don't want that because we can't control it, right? We're wishing and hoping that people are going to find you is not a strategy. Also, the algorithms on these websites control what people see. You don't. You could post every single day and there's still plenty of your own connections who would never actually see that. So you can't rely on just posting something. Could it help? Sure. If you are in Facebook groups where they allow mm-hmm. you to post things like that, sure. It could help get some people in. But that is just posting and waiting for people to come to you is not an effective strategy. And you guys know, again, we will say it again and again. It's you have to be in control of your opportunities. So pitching is going to be the number one thing that you can do. However, supplemental to pitching, you could try and test it out, test different things, test a promotion for free strategy calls, test a promotion. Maybe you offer a free 20-minute feedback on the messaging on their homepage.
And you can add these promotions too of people that, hey, for the clients that book with me for a project, in addition, you will also get. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have to do it as a way to attract leads. You absolutely can. But you can also do it as a way for people to get people to lock in a project with you mm-hmm. and give them something extra for having locked in a project with you during a certain time frame. Mm-hmm, you know, exactly. I think before the holiday, you know, September timeframe, even maybe end of August, depending on your clients, to say, hey, you know, looking ahead to the holidays, for anyone that books with me during the month of August, I'll do a free, you know, strategy session on opportunities that you can take advantage of leading into the holidays, if that makes sense mm-hmm. for, again, who you're working with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you'll notice too, number one, you need to limit it. You need to limit the number of people that can have access to it. And also too, you need to limit the time because there will be some people who are like, ooh, a free strategy call. They'll get on and they'll try to spend 3 hours with you.
Yeah.
And you will end up, it should be a half hour maximum call.
Set a timer if you have to.
Exactly. Unless it turns into, then you start talking about projects that you're going to work on together. That's a different story, of course. But same thing, you know, oh, I'll do a free assessment of your homepage, a free 20-minute assessment or a free something so that you don't end up. And sometimes we do this out of temptation too. We want to over deliver. We want to really wow somebody. And we record an hour's worth of feedback. And what ends up happening often is that we give them too much feedback and they think they can do it on their own. Or we give them all this free stuff and they're like, this is great, super. And maybe too, it's too long and they just don't ever consume it. So make sure that there is a limitation in the number of times, number of things that you're giving out, and limitation in the number, in the amount of time as well. We don't recommend doing free writing projects for people. Do not work for free, because this is the same thing. If you work for free, why on earth would they ever bother to pay you? Also, what are you saying about the fact that you're like, I'll work for free? Same thing with the plumbers, right? You have a plumber here who charges this excellent rate, and then another plumber is like, oh no, I'll come over and do that for free. Wouldn't you be like, well, now wait a minute here. How good of a plumber can you be if you need to work for free? People will think the same thing about you as a copywriter. So we're not saying write your copy for free, but we are saying there may be small, limited promotions that you could do with the intention of then upselling them into regular projects.
And with any of these things, you want to think about the, just like with the pitch, you're sending over the what, not necessarily the how. So when you're doing a homepage review, you want to kind of give them, oh, hey, you could really lead with a stronger benefit here, and that would help you do blah, 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 X, Y, Z. You know, your benefit's not clear in this section. I think we could really put this in. Or who is your audience here? I don't think that's really clear. And strengthening that and really honing on a specific audience would make this page stronger. Whatever it is, you're not giving them the how. You're giving them just the what, because the how is what they are hiring you to do. And so you want to save all of that good energy and all that writing for when they actually hire you to do the project. You know, if you're doing, again, just using homepage as example, homepage review, you don't need to rewrite the headline at the top of their page for them. That's not something you necessarily need to do.
Exactly. And I want to loop back to something that we talked about a little bit at the beginning, I believe, is what about when you've talked to a potential client and you've sent through your quote and they said, no, we can't do it. That's out of our budget. Well, what about then? I still can't offer discounts? Well, no, here's the thing. There you have a couple of options at this point. This is when we get into the negotiation phase, which, by the way, sounds like people are so scared to negotiate. It's not scary at all. Basically, figure out what is the absolute lowest you would be willing to do a project for. If $1,000 is the rate that you want to do this project for. And you do some thinking, you think, all right, if I really needed to, I could do it. I really like this client. So I'd be willing to do it maybe for like $850, but that's the lowest I would go. Then, and also, by the way, you don't have to do this. If you think, all right, this is $1,000, we'll do this project for $1,000, and if they can't do $1,000, then fine. There are plenty of other clients out there. But if you're thinking in your head, all right, I really want to work with this client, so I would do it for $850. So when they say, oh, unfortunately, we can't just do $1,000, that's just not in our budget, and you say to them, okay, well, what is your budget? And they say, well, we could do it for closer to $900. Then you can say, all right, well, I can switch some stuff around, and I really am interested in working with you. I normally don't do this, but I can make $900 work. That's fine. That's not, the implication there is not that you're discounting. The implication is that you're willing to work with them based on information they gave you. You didn't guess at their budget. They gave you about their budget. But again, you don't have to do that. If you want to do something for $1,000 and they say, oh, we can't do that, then you don't have to go back. There's so many other clients out there. And on top of that too, that if they come back and say, oh, that's out of our budget, maybe you don't have a lower rate, or maybe you don't have that kind of bottom price you'd be willing to work for. Maybe you say, okay, I understand. Well, I think if we remove this part of the project, we can make that fit within your budget. And maybe we save that for a phase two, something like that. But none of this is discounting.
Yeah. And just to give an example, if people are like, well, how would you take things out of a project? There might be certain projects that you can't. If you're like, hey, I'm rewriting the homepage and that's what it's going to cost, that's what it's going to cost. But for example, if you're doing, say you had agreed to write a series of 10 emails for them and a homepage and another, you know, there are multiple components to the project. Maybe you say, okay, we can do the emails now and we'll save the homepage for later. Or, you know, maybe you agreed to do a series of 5 Facebook ads, but you're like, okay, I can make 3 work for this price or whatever it is. Just if there's something more than just one item you're delivering, then you could do that. And in the case of a single homepage, maybe there is to say, hey, we can really strengthen this top part and start there. I think that would really make an impact for you. And we can save the rest of the homepage for another point. You could even do that and break up one page into something like that if you felt like there was an opportunity for something that could really drive impact for them. But that's really all you're looking at of like, how can I still add value for this client and partner with this client and make it work for both of us? That's all you're really doing. And yeah, I think negotiation, we say that and it's almost the wrong, it's just
a conversation.
Yeah. How can we make this work for everyone involved? Yes. And I think it's the key is going in with that mindset of, A, you're valuable and people are out there are willing to pay your rates. And so why go in discounting or working for free or anything like that right off the bat, especially the working for free? Even, you know, when people are starting out, they think, well, okay, I might partner with this nonprofit and I'm willing to work for free because it's a nonprofit. See if they have budget first before you go in saying I'll volunteer. You know, it's totally fine if you want to volunteer your time. We're not advocating for being a great human. That's a wonderful thing. But
we are advocating for being great. Be a great human.
To yourself.
However,
you need to take care of yourself. And so, you know, there are nonprofits that have plenty of budget that could be willing to pay you. Yeah. And so it's the idea of not making assumptions of who can and can't afford to pay your rates. And so entering conversations with your best foot forward, saying this is my rate, and then weighing the decision of what you want to do for your business after that. But there's no sense in putting up your own roadblocks in saying no to yourself before someone else says no to you. And especially because if that's the case, if truly you look at it and you're like, I'm just afraid of them saying no, that's great practice then. That's an opportunity. If you really dig and look at it in any of these scenarios and say, I'm just afraid of the no. I'm afraid they're not going to want to work with me. I'm afraid that this is a project that's within my grasp and I'm afraid it's going to slip out and I'm not going to have this project. That's almost never the case. And if that is a client that just says, nope, too high, bye, I never want to talk to you again, that's not a client you want to work with. That's not someone who's used to doing business and just used to working with service providers, that there is a conversation. And so give yourself the benefit of the doubt. Give yourself the opportunity to have someone say yes to you, because by not doing it, you're taking away that opportunity from someone to be able to say that to you. And again, you'll be so surprised, I think, once it actually happens. And so it's something you just have to do and have to practice. And then if you do eventually get a firm no, it's also not a no forever. You can follow up with them and, hey, is it cool if I follow up in 6 months that this might be, you know, better timing for everyone? That happens all the time too. And if it is, again, at the very, very worst, quote unquote, worst case scenario, that's a firm no, you're never going to work with that client. There's so many other clients. And so what? You get that experience to say, great, cool, I tried, and on to the next one.
Exactly. On to the next one. Yeah, I love it. So in a nutshell, discounts, don't do them. Be open to having a conversation with a client after. You may want to be open to have a conversation with a client after you have proposed a rate and maybe it doesn't work for them. Maybe that's up to you. But that's very different than coming out of the gates with a discount. And that is a conversation. And you also get to choose whether or not you even have that conversation. So discounts, don't do them. And with that, we will catch you guys in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Like what you heard? Subscribe to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast so you never miss any copywriting tips, tools, or tactics. And if you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at freecopywritingtraining.com. We'll catch you in the next episode.